Hour number two of PM Tampa Bay on this Friday, April 9th. I'm Ryan Gorman. With me this evening, Jason Behringer on the board. Coming up this hour, I'll talk to moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd. We'll get his thoughts on the Matt Gaetz scandal. Also, Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst for Bankrate, is going to join me. We'll talk to him about some recent economic data and the overall state of the economy right now. But first, let me turn to Chloe Pantazzi, lifestyle deputy editor for Insider, to talk about the life and legacy of Prince Philip, who passed away at the age of 99. Chloe, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to talk to us. And just like I think a lot of Americans, my knowledge of Prince Philip comes directly from the Netflix show The Crown. So that's what I'm basing all of my questions to you on. But before we get into some different aspects of his life, just taking a big picture look, if you were to summarize his life and his legacy, some of the more important things that people should know about him, what would you include?
Yeah, so thank you for having me. Prince Philip has made history by being the longest-serving British consort. That's the title. The title consort comes with being the partner of the sovereign. So being by the Queen's side for years, he has been her rock throughout the monarchy, throughout her reign. So that's obviously the biggest thing that he'll be remembered for. But before he married the Queen, he was actually in the Royal Navy, and that was he was in the Royal Navy for some years and worked his way up to being a commander. He went to schools in Paris, England, Germany, and Scotland. And he was actually born a prince. He was also a royal himself before he joined the royal family. He was born a prince of Greece and Denmark on Corfu in 1921. So he already was a royal and was actually distantly related to the queen. And they met as children at a wedding. So they and then they ended up marrying years later.
So in The Crown, they portray Prince Philip as someone who really seems to understand the significance of the monarchy and is all in on service to the crown. Do you think that was an accurate portrayal?
I think so. I would caution too that obviously The Crown is fictional and is based on the royal family. But as you know, the royal family is so guarded, and this family is so much not known about what goes on behind closed doors, as we all learned, with Harry and Meghan's interview last month. So I think the depiction of Philip in The Crown is really interesting and will lead to some interesting analysis over the next few days as people, look into his past and what he was really like. He was a really colourful character. He's not without his controversy. And I think that's something, too, that we'll hear about in the next few days. But I will say with Philip that he from the moment the Queen took the throne, in 1953, there's that powerful image of him kneeling before her. Yeah. And he really, he had given up his duties in the Royal Navy, and it was about serving the crown. So that was a big switch. And as a patron and a working royal for so many years, he retired at 95, but he carried out many public engagements, thousands of public engagements over the years, and, had worked with many charitable organizations. So he did make a very lasting impact on the royal family and their legacy.
I'm joined by Chloe Pantazzi. She is the lifestyle deputy editor at Insider, and we're talking about the life and legacy of Prince Philip, who has passed away at the age of 99. Do you get the sense that it was difficult for him to be, let's be honest, second fiddle his entire life to the Queen?
That's interesting. I can't say anything for a fact or speak for the royal family or for him, of course. But I, from my personal opinion and where I sit, as somebody who's been following the royals for years and also watching The Crown with everyone else, I would say, Philip is kind of an unexpected royal figure, or he was, because he did have this biting sense of humor. When he stepped down from royal life, somebody said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that you're standing down." He said, "Well, these days I can barely stand up." He's been very frank. He's been very frank over the years, giving interviews and being certainly outspoken on some topics, which is kind of at odds with what the monarchy's motto has been. So it's quite interesting. I will say, I think, of course, that he's not really stepped out of bounds with the royals in terms of, he's obviously been very devoted to serving the royal family in his you know, in his role as consort. As I said, he'd given so much of his time to working with charitable organizations, and he also kept some of his connections to the military even after he left the Navy. He stayed connected as a colonel of the Grenadier Guards, which is an infantry regiment of the British Army. So he's had a really interesting life, and I can't say for sure exactly what he was like, but I feel like his death will forever kind of, or for at least for now, really change how, it will make a big difference to the Queen. His death was just a line of succession. He was never going to take the throne. On the Queen's death, that will be Charles. And then on Charles's death, that will be William. But, you know, Prince Philip has been her rock. And, you know, as humans, if you lose your husband, that's a big loss.
Now, you did say you watched The Crown. Do you buy into their depictions of Prince Philip as someone who was unfaithful to the Queen early on in their marriage, and also someone who came off as cold as a father, especially when it came to Prince Charles?
Yeah, so I'll be honest. I don't know, again, for a fact that these things really happened, or that was how he acted toward Charles. I will say I believe that this is possible. I believe that, you know, perhaps he wasn't the most faithful husband. I don't think that would be unrealistic to believe. I don't have evidence of that, but I do think that, especially, you know, this man was 99 and he's had a very long life, as we've seen how much the world has changed. So the way in which we have access to the royals now, and even still now, so much is kept behind closed doors and it's given to us in statements. And, you know, even in the media, we don't get interviews with royals. That's not something that is done very often, as we saw with the Meghan and Harry interview, blowing everyone's socks off. But I do wonder, I have questions about that too. And I think so many people are having these discussions given some of the content of Harry and Meghan's interview, I could see how, as a father, Philip to Charles perhaps instilled some of those values. Mm-hmm. Around, you know, the monarchy and what you need to do growing up. Like, Charles was, or Charles is, the heir to the throne. And he, you know, he's been groomed from a young age to be held to that standard in the way that William has.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting. And I think I'm sure that does come with tensions within families, as it would in any family. Of course, most of us cannot relate to what it's like to grow up as an heir to a throne, however.
No, you're right about that. I'm joined by Chloe Pantazzi, lifestyle deputy editor for Insider. We're talking about the life and legacy of Prince Philip. Was he generally viewed favorably among the British people?
You know, that's interesting. I believe so. I think views on the royals have shifted somewhat recently, especially across different generations. Mm-hmm. We have seen the royals' popularity really dip following the Meghan and Harry interview with Oprah. But I think Philip has always been an interesting figure, because he's been by the Queen's side and in many ways appeared as her equal, even though the Queen is higher ranking than him. It's interesting to note too, a bit of a royals fun fact, that if you are a woman and marry, if you were to marry a king, you'd become the queen consort. For example, when Charles ascends the throne, Camilla will become queen consort. But men don't take a king consort title.
Right.
And you know, it's believed to be quite sexist, because the assumption is that if you are a king, you are therefore outranking a queen. So this idea that king and queen are not equal, Prince Philip stayed a prince. He's the Duke of Edinburgh. He's the prince consort, not the king consort. So that's interesting, and I think that his legacy is really that, you know, he appeared alongside the Queen, in many ways supporting her, but also alongside her in his own role, and adding maybe more personality to some of those official duties. As I said, he's been known to make kind of off-the-cuff remarks and make jokes, and I think that he may have brought that kind of energy to these more official ceremonious occasions.
Buckingham Palace, the royal family, they announced his death today. What happens next? What are the next steps in this process?
Yeah, so it's interesting because we're obviously in the middle of a pandemic. So yeah. Some of these things are a bit different. But Prince Philip will not have a state funeral, which is what royals often do have. He had made that request, and he had said reportedly that he did not want the fuss that was involved with the ceremony, as the Queen's consort is entitled to a state funeral. And I think that kind of speaks to his character as well, the fact that, you know, he's saying, I didn't want this fuss. I don't want this this big pomp and circumstance. So his body will lie in rest at Windsor Castle ahead of his funeral, which is due to take place at St. George's Chapel. That's on the grounds of Windsor Castle, which I just said. But so he will be, unlike some royals who are laid to rest at Westminster Abbey, he will be at Windsor Castle. So things are happening a little differently. It's also worth noting we don't know when the funeral will be yet. Mm-hmm. That has not been confirmed by Buckingham Palace, but we understand we'll be getting more details about that. And in terms of gathering, obviously the UK is coming out of lockdown, but the current restrictions in the UK are that no more than 30 people are currently allowed to attend funerals. So the ceremony will not have many attendees, or as many as other royal funerals. You know, when Princess Diana died, for example, there were reportedly 1 million people outside Buckingham Palace's gates, which is unfathomable to think about. But that is, of course, not what will be happening for Philip. It's worth noting, too, that, the government in the UK has also, in issuing their condolences, said, you know, please do not gather outside Buckingham Palace, because, many people have been laying wreaths and flowers and things like that. But again, this is, the royal family wants to, you know, be moving people away from doing this. I believe they also removed the announcement that they posted an actual announcement on the gates of Buckingham Palace to announce his death as well, which is another royal protocol, but that I believe has been removed to avoid crowds.
And then final question for you, and again, I'm talking to Chloe Pantazzi, lifestyle deputy editor for Insider. All eyes are going to be on Harry and Meghan. Are they going to be there? Will they be invited? Do we have any insight into that just yet?
So we don't have any insight into that just yet, but firstly, we know that Harry and Meghan, their site Archewell today, they had changed it to pay their respects. It has a very simple message saying you will be missed, and with Prince Philip's the date, the year of his death and his birth, 1921 to 2021. But I think with Meghan and Harry, a lot of focus will be on them. However, you know, if Harry and Meghan decide to travel, one thing to consider is that Meghan is currently pregnant. She'd also suffered a miscarriage before. And if she is at a point in her pregnancy where it's high risk for her to travel, or she's been advised not to, you know, she may not be going to the UK. I expect that Harry will go. I'm unclear and unsure on Meghan, but I expect that we'll see at least one of them travel, at least Harry travel for the funeral.
Oh, I think that's going to be covered extensively. I tell you what, after that Oprah interview, Chloe Pantazzi, lifestyle deputy editor for Insider, with us to talk about the life and legacy of Prince Philip, again, who passed away at the age of 99. Chloe, thanks so much for joining us and for the insight into the royal family. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
All right, coming up in a moment, I'll check in with moderator of Meet the Press, Chuck Todd, here on PM Tampa Bay.